So we love a bit of deep breathing. Breathing all the way in. And all the way out. All the way in. And all the way out. All the way in. And all the way out. All the way in. And all the way out. And just keep that going. And that should feel really nice. So we love a bit of breathing, don't we, brother?
Yeah, we love the breath. You know, Brother Nick, many years ago, I remember you mentioning about mala beads, rosaries. And I always thought, you know, it's a bit of bhakti. Not really my style, but I've actually got loads of them now, and my main practice these days is just breathing in God's divine light, feeling it, giving thanks and praise, and then sending out good vibes throughout my whole body and then out into the world. And it's such a refreshing and easy practice. So I just wanted to give you special blessings for your many years ago recommendation. Right. So bhakti, if anyone doesn't understand, it's the path of devotion. It's blind faith, is where people just do the most ridiculous things without any awareness of what it means, what it is. There's no point to it. There's no benefit in it. And if you try and tell them not to do it, they get really upset, really disturbed, and it's just not helping anyone out. So we're into understanding what we're doing and actually having methods and practices that actually mean something and actually work. And so the mala bead, if you don't have one, by the way, if anyone listening to this doesn't have your mala beads, then there's just countless ones you can buy online or in different shops. They're very, very popular, actually. You can get really, really fancy ones made out of special gemstones, or you can get Rudraksha beads, you can get, there's all sorts, of just like there is with everything else. And some people, they look nice. A lot of people just have them around or wear them as jewelry. But that's not really the point of them, even though they do look nice and feel nice. The point of the mala is 108 beads. And if you go around the whole thing, it's quite a lot of concentration. What it is that you're focusing on one thing at a time. That's why they're so powerful. Because it's basically, it's like a timer, or it's like a concentration tool. And so what you do is you hold one of the beads, and you can do all sorts of different things with it. So you can think, for example, if you wanted to do a mantra, let's say you wanted to think, I am joy, I am joy. So you might just, you sit there, you hold the bead, and you think, I am joy, and you feel all excited about it, all happy about it. And then you could go on to the next bead. You don't even have to breathe with it. You could just say, I am joy, I am joy, I am joy. If you thought to yourself, I am joy, 108 times in a row, you would feel much more joyful at the end of it than you did at the beginning of it. So that's just a very simple way of doing it. What I personally like to do is I like to breathe in divine light. And I'm holding a bead, breathe in. And then I give thanks in my heart. And then I breathe out and send good vibes throughout my body, because my body needs healing and blessings. And then out into the world, and then out into the universe. And that's one bead. That's one bead. And then and then I do it again. And what happens is, because I'm focused on one thing at a time, one bead at a time, my concentration is able to handle that. Yeah, we can do one thing for a few seconds, and then you do it again for a few seconds, and then again and again. And I've realized it takes me somewhere around 20 minutes to 40 minutes, depending on how fast or slow I do it, to go around the whole thing. So that, you know, it's quite a mission, but you feel so much better afterwards. So it's really, really, really good for concentration, because nowadays most people basically can't concentrate. And we have mentioned this in another session, that we need concentration. And one of the best things to do is just to get a mala. And you can be creative with it. You can do different things with it. You can make up your own little practices. But the point is to stay with one thing that makes you happy and do it again and again and again. And you can feel absolutely shifted in your consciousness. And if you can't handle 108 beads, by the way, because that's pretty hardcore, you can get these little bracelets that have beads that might have like 12 beads on them. And then you could have it around your wrist, you know, jewelry. And then you can just, you know, go around the beads one time, you know, and that's an easy thing that anyone can do. And it really makes a huge difference. So I'm glad that Brother Nick brought that up.
The best mala would actually only have one bead on it.
That's right. And you just go back to it again and again.
That's right. And you just stay focused on the point, stay focused on the point. So the thing about meditation for busy people, and we know you're busy, successful people are busy. People with families are busy. People with children are busy. People with homes are busy. So we know you're busy. We're busy. We like getting loads of shit done. Brother Michael likes jumping up and down, cleaning the whole place, getting excited, writing a million books a day, jumping up and down some more. He's up at 2 o'clock in the morning, Brother Michael. So we know we're busy. But so we want to be focused on the most important single thing that matters above all else, and that is the point. So what is the point? The point is an epicenter of stillness. That's the whole point of breathing, of meditation, of malas, of everything. The point is to be in absolute total stillness. Is that right, bro, or not?
That's right. Come to a place of peace. So stillness, that's why there's that nice expression, Om Shanti, which just means I am a point and I am peace, I am stillness, I am silence. And because we are still peaceful beings when it comes down to it, we like it when we feel still and peaceful. So that ultimately is the main thing that we're craving, is just to come back to what we already are. So that's the whole point of all these practices, meditation. And today's session is manifestation. You know, people love to manifest. We like to manifest. How do you manifest your highest dreams in challenging times? And that that title, by the way, was designed very carefully, because we're not talking about how do you manifest whatever you want, which is what most people say. We're talking about how do you manifest your highest dreams, because there's a big difference between our pure desires, or what is truly the highest good for all, and all the ego's nonsense. And so this is a key thing that barely anyone ever talks about. If you buy books on law of attraction, if you buy courses and all this stuff, hardly anyone actually can be bothered or even knows about the difference between pure desires that actually make us happy and all the brainwashing that we've picked up from the media for years and years and years. So we'll talk about that in a bit more detail. We're going to talk about the visions. What visions are you holding in your heart and mind? Why it matters to you. Then we're going to talk about the daily practices again, because we've got to come back to that. Morning and evening practice. We're going to talk about getting time away from the madness of the modern world and the importance of doing the work and not just knowing about things. And right at the beginning, I just want to mention something that might not have been obvious, because we've been talking about practice, practice, practice. Neither Nick or myself initially really like the practice for its own sake. Almost nobody just says, all I want to do is practice, especially at the beginning, right? So if we've been talking about practice and you're thinking, well, I don't want to do practice, I don't like having a schedule, I don't want to be on this program where I have to do all these things all the time, we understand that. We understand that I don't like it. I'm a very free-floating person. I don't like any structures, any appointments. My favorite thing is to have nothing to do all day long, and I can choose to do whatever I feel like. But when we don't have any structure, we don't have any methods, any practices, then we end up getting our time gets stolen by the monsters quite quickly, and we can get distracted, and it can lead to a day of less than blissful experiences, especially if it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on for weeks and months and weeks and months. So right at the beginning, I just want to mention that we don't always like the practice. Sometimes we can't be bothered with the practice. Sometimes we're just not going to do it anyway. But it really makes a huge difference to do it, even if we don't feel like it. What do you think about that, bro?
Yeah, man. It's essential. So this is the thing. If you're busy, you've got to have, you know, it's a good idea to have your mala, because then you stay on the practice. You've got to stay focused. You've got to get up early, no matter how hard it is. If you've got six kids, you've still got to get up and do your practice. No excuses. There's no excuses. No excuse is acceptable. It's just not on. Because, I mean, you know, obviously, if your fucking boyfriend drops dead, you know, of course there's excuses. But the thing is this. Practice is more important than the drama of life. It's more important than everything, your personality, your persona, your ego. The drama of life will present you. It's more important than survival. It's more important than eating. It's more important than money. It's more important than sex. It's much more important than social media. It's much more important than everything else just about that you possibly do in your life. That's why the Buddhists call it active laziness. You're too fucking lazy to be hardcore with yourself and whip yourself into shape by doing the thing that you don't want to do. It's hardcore, mate. It's hardcore. It's hardcore. Brother Michael said that the, even 108 beads is hardcore. I don't particularly think it's hardcore. I've never thought of it in that way. But now when he says it, I understand what he's saying. We are hardcore. Brother Michael's more hardcore than I am, but I'm hardcore. So that's just it. And so we are hardcore. You have to be hardcore to be a superhero. That's it. That's the difference. The only difference between Jesus and anybody else is that Jesus is the most hardcore and not deviating from who he is.
That's right. And the thing is that the society we live in, the latest round of riots and madness in America, it's there's always some crazy stuff going on everywhere, and there's always someone else to blame for everything. That's just the society we live in, likes to not take responsibility. The only thing we can do to sort any problem out in the world is to sort ourselves out and to take personal responsibility for our life and ask ourselves, what can I do to be part of the solution and not part of the problem? And that means changing ourselves. It doesn't mean going around pointing fingers at everyone else, because there's always someone to point a finger at about everything. And we've got a society now that is a victim-based society, where everyone wants to be a victim because they get special things. And it's led to this huge issue where people are not taking responsibility for their lives. So superheroes, we call this stuff out for what it is, and we say, look, there are loads of injustices going on in the world and crazy stuff, but what can we do about it? We can change ourselves, and that really means that our lifestyle becomes something that is serving others and is helping others. So let's talk about the pure desires versus brainwashed desires. And this is actually one of my favorite topics, because I've been in the, you know, Nick and I have both been in the kind of self-development business, if you like, for many, many years now. And people, you know, often asking us, how can I manifest this? How can I manifest that? Well, I want to get all this stuff. How can I be more successful? We hear these sort of things all the time. And we help people manifest things. But what we have to remember, and this is really important to kind of think about again and again and again and again and again, is that most things we want are actually brainwashed desires that have been instilled into our minds over many, 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 many years of watching television, watching movies, looking at magazines, going on the internet, checking emails, and just wandering around in the world. So basically, we live in a extreme marketing society. Marketing, I'm actually sitting next to a book here called This Is Marketing by Seth Godin. And I recommend reading it, by the way, if anyone's in business. It's a really good book. But one of the first point he makes in that book is that we live in such an extreme world of marketing that we're like fish in the water. We don't realize that we're literally surrounded by marketing messages all day, all the time. And it's got worse because now people have cell phones, so they're being marketed even more than before, because it's now 8-10 hours a day of marketing. And it's not just, by the way, advertising. You know, we think of marketing like if you're watching television and the ads come and you think that's marketing. That's, of course, is marketing. But the TV show itself is marketing. It's marketing an idea. It's marketing a belief system. The movie is marketing. It's not just the content. It's also what values the movie promotes. When you go into the store, what the products for sale are there because people think they're important and they're being marketed. So the whole of Western society is this major marketing machine. And we have been hugely influenced by this. We might not realize how bad it is, but one of the easiest ways to see how severe the marketing brainwashing is simply to fly across to some part of the world where they have not been marketed to in the same way as we have. And you learn a lot by traveling, especially if you go to places like rural India, where I've been up in the villages in the mountains of people who don't have, they probably do now, but when I went, they didn't have cell phones. They work on the land. They get up, you know, like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they do their work before it gets too hot. And then they have their millet chapatis with chili paste. That's basically all they eat, is millet chapatis with chili and salt paste. That's their life. And so they have a very different worldview than we do, because they haven't been given all this information. They're not thinking about all the things we are. So we've been living in this. It's been going round and round and round and round and round for a long, 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 long time. It's gone and it gets reinforced again and again and again. So you see something once and you think, oh, that's cool. That person's doing it. Maybe that's something I should do. You don't think this consciously. This happens unconsciously. Then you see it again, and you see it again, then you see it again, then you see one of your neighbors has got this thing, and a friend of yours has it, and this and that, and this and that. And before you know it, we're thinking, oh, well, I need to make more money so that I can buy this thing, or I want to buy this thing. And it all happens without us realizing, and it's become such a major force that most people work to shop and they live to consume. That's unfortunately the Western society for the majority of people. And so people are running around trying to manifest all this stuff. And unfortunately, when we manifest it, if it's not something that comes from our heart, if it's not something that's really meaningful to us personally, if it's not aligned with our dharma, then when we manifest these things, they either cause us sorrow or they become a bondage, a trap. So a lot of people in the Western world have loads and 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 loads of stuff, tons of stuff, but they're not happy. In fact, depression and anxiety get higher and higher and higher every year that goes past. So here we are, surrounded with stuff. We can buy pretty much anything we want. You can get a lot of stuff cheaply that wasn't even possible previously. We have all this access to movies and social media and endless entertainment. You can get pretty much any food you can imagine. You can get it. You can get it made for you. You can get a million different types of chocolate. Tons of different kinds of chips and salsas and sauces and fruits and everything. And yet, even though we have everything, we're still not happy. And in fact, not are we not just happy, we're often miserable, depressed, and have a meaningless life. And what's the solution to all that? The solution is more stuff, of course. The only reason you're unhappy is because you don't have the new thing. You know, maybe if you get the latest iPhone or whatever it is, then it will be better. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And millions of people are trapped in this system completely and totally at the mercy of it, and they don't even realize it's happening. And a lot of spiritual people, by the way, don't realize that this applies to them. They think, oh yeah, we understand the mainstream people, we understand the consumerist culture, we don't like that, we're not into that. But we are. We actually are into it. We've been affected by it. We've been injected with the drugs, and it's gone in our system. And so for us to say we haven't got a problem is actually a very severe form of denial and delusion. So once you admit it, I admit that I might wander around the house and think, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I had something, and I go on Amazon, click 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 click, and then it comes to my front door. I admit it, I'd definitely buy more stuff than I need to buy. And there's always something else. But what we have to realize is that when we start looking at ourselves very deeply, we realize that some things actually genuinely make us happy and content and feel like we're living our lives on purpose. And those things tend to be serving others. It turns out that being of service, helping other people in some way, actually leads to a lot more good feelings. Like giving gifts to others, it actually brings a lot more joy most of the time than giving gifts to ourselves. And being of service to others, making people happy, making them awakened, helping them feel better, using our time to help, to serve, that makes us much, 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 much happier than all this other stuff. And so as superheroes, we really need to be wise about this. We need to realize, where is our time going? What do we want? What are our visions? And are they things that actually make us more successful really? Or is it just buying a trap? This is the big thing to know about. And it's not easy to know the difference because it's gone into us very, very, very deeply. So our goal as superheroes is to really understand ourselves because everyone's a bit different. Like Brother Nick, he loves to go into crazy places. And I like that as well. I mean, Nick's inspired me over the years to do crazy, stupid shit. In a way, it's not stupid, but it's like somewhat dangerous. Nick pushes it right to the edge. And it's quite incredible what Brother Nick gets into and manages to survive. And I like a bit of danger and I like a bit of out there in nature in the middle of nowhere sort of style things. But he does it to a higher degree than pretty much anyone else I know. And it brings him a sense of aliveness. And he likes serving people and clients, doing retreats and all sorts of things. He has his stuff that he loves to do and makes him happy. And we have to understand what it is that we're designed for. What are we good at? And design our visions around those things. And call out this other stuff. So what I normally get people do when they're coming up with visions is to write down all your visions. What do you want? What do you want? So people write down a list, and I recommend that you do this. You can do it after the call. Write down everything you think you want, whatever your idea of a perfect life is. And then just leave it for a little bit. You could leave it for a couple of days. Don't do anything. And just tune into what makes you happy. When do you feel happy? One study showed, this was a fascinating thing, that was people were given these pagers. This is a study done about 20 years ago. They were given, about 30 years ago, they were given pagers. And they were, every random times they were paged, buzzed, you know, the message, pagers are before cell phones, so you could just see it. And when that message came through, they were to write down what they were doing and how they felt, their emotional state. So there's loads of thousands of people, and they, like two or three times a day, they were given this message to just write down what are they doing, how do they feel. And then they collected up all that information from all these people. The point of this, the survey was to discover what actually makes people feel better, right? So they collected all the studies, and they expected to find that when people are away from work and they're doing things that they like, that they'll be happier. That's what they expected to find. And what they actually did find is that when people were at work doing stuff, even though they said that they'd rather be at home, most people who are working in offices and factories or whatever, they say, oh, I can't wait to get home. It turned out that when people were at work, they were happier than they were when they were at home having their leisure time, sitting around watching TV or whatever it was. And this is like a mass study over loads of people from different backgrounds. And this is what they consistently found, which I thought was a really fascinating thing to discover. And what it means, what we can take from this, is that a lot of the things that we think are going to make us happy do not at all make us happy. In fact, they make us feel restless. And a lot of the things that we think wouldn't make us happy actually make us feel more alive. And so as superheroes, we really need to figure this out, because otherwise we're kind of living a fraudulent lifestyle and not even realizing it. So what you can do is you can write down, what is it that you love to do? What kind of life do you want to have? What kind of things do you want to create? And then tune into whether or not it's something that actually brings you joy. And be honest about it. Because if it isn't, then instead of protecting it and justifying it, we can just change it, do something else.
So obviously people are busy, and they were already busy with their busy lives, and some of the things that they're doing in their lives they don't particularly enjoy. And so you have to but you still got to do them. So you got to try and bring as much enjoyment as you can into doing it. And so you have to think about that and get creative with it. But at the very least, you can be totally present with what you're doing. So this thing about being on the point, you know, what I try and do with stuff I don't enjoy, like that's personally, you know, like I'm kind of like a more of a stoic kind of a dude. I like pain. I like hardship. I like graft. I like a struggle. I like the struggle because I feel it's good for my character. So I seek that way. So even if you have to do things that you don't like doing, for example, you know, really hardcore workouts are fucking painful. So I wouldn't say I enjoy that pain, but I like to do them. So how do I do that? By being present, just deeply, 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 fully present with the pain. Because, you know, something, if you don't like doing something, it's at least uncomfortable, if not painful. So be present with the uncomfortableness. And understand that it's a process that benefits you. This is a very important point I'm making here now. The process of doing things, being present with doing things that you don't necessarily find pleasant, if you can't find a joyful way to do them, you can be present with the process. And that in and of itself, if the process has a point and you're focused on your breath and you practice the malas and you do the meditation to get yourself into stillness, and the stillness has a point, and you focused on the point, and you focused on the point with love, then you're going to make huge strides in whatever you're creating, whatever reality you're trying to transform. If there's things in your life that you don't particularly like doing, the idea is to get the things you don't like doing, or you don't particularly enjoy, or they're a bit of a grind, you want to reduce them and increase the things that you do enjoy doing. So that takes a little while, and there's an art to it, and the process is what it's all about. It's not about the goal. It's never about the goal. There is no goal. That's a nonsense. That's part of the ego's thing. And even if the ego does achieve its goals, it's immediately dissatisfied, no matter what it is. If it takes it, you know, 10 years to win the World Cup, and then it's on there, it's won the World Cup, all its ego dreams have come true. Immediately after it, it's depression, emptiness, the void. That's what it is. You ask any great, great, great champion of men, particularly someone like a heavyweight boxing champion who's dreamed about it since he was a little boy, been in 100 and, you know, 100 or 200 boxing fights, had his face smashed in, and becomes the champion of the world. And in his mind, that's such an incredible achievement. It's the absolute pinnacle of his childhood dreams. And we're all, in a way, prisoners of our childhood dreams or our childhood wounds or our childhood, you know, perceptions, consciousness, especially if they strongly impact us. So when you reach that point, you might be 30 years old or 28 years old or 33 years old or something. You immediately go into a crisis. And this is utterly verifiable. You have to just have to do a little bit of study and research to understand this. You go into a crisis. So what's the point? The point is the goals generate crisis, depression. So, don't have a goal. Be the traveler with no destination. That doesn't mean you don't know where you're fucking going. It means that the way traveling along the way, a great traveler has no destination. That means you're not in this frantic, ego, hysterical, emotional, dramatic way of doing things. And you disengage that mechanism in an extreme way. And that's why you need to be hardcore. We're extremely hardcore, we're extreme rebels, we're extreme embodiments of the way, with a capital T and a capital W. And the essence of that is meditation in stillness, in silence, on focused on a point, and that point is a point of certainty, nischa, you know who you are, within the greater scheme of things. So you're centered in the infinite, but you're also centered in your little life. And your little world encircles you like a circle. It encircles you. Your little life encircles you. And within your little life, there is a focal point, an epicenter of consciousness that is your meditation. It is your yoga. And if you lose continuity with connection with the point, you're in trouble. And you're going to stumble around and bang into things. And you're going to be a Muppet in the Muppet Show. That's the way it is. And that's not the position that we want, that we consciously are choosing to play as superheroes. It's fine to slip into that and recognize that that's what you are and love it and accept it and forgive it and have compassion and then get back onto your mountaintop because you walk in rarefied air. I live on a huge, giant mountain of consciousness that is so high above the world. That's where I live. That's where I breathe. That's where I exist. That's where I have my peace. That's where I return to all the time I have to engage in the matrix. So this is what we do. That's how. This is our yoga. This is our meditation. This is the way we use our imagination. And while you're doing it, carry your mala bead and get on with whatever you're doing and enjoy your life and trust yourself. Trust yourself, absolutely trust your intuition, trust your guidance, slow way down, be focused on your breath, focused on your breath, focused on your breath, and focused on your breath. And just stay focused on your breath and paint it all over the walls of your house. Paint it on your husband's forehead. Focus on breath. There's nothing more important because you can't stabilize in the point in the breath. And if you've been traumatized or you've been in any kind of fear, now I want you to be honest about yourself right now. This is a question to all you superheroes. Are you, were you today, in any way, shape or form today, the whole day, did you or did you not feel any kind of anxiety? Did you feel any kind of stress, any kind of tension, any kind of anxiety, fear-based feeling that went into fear-based thought, anxiety, that might have been repeating itself, neurotic, neurosis, and psychosis, grinding on a negative thought, grinding on a negative thought. If not today, this week, this month, this year, the last 3 years, the last 10 years, have you grown up with neurotic, psychotic people? Are you in any way frightened, in any way frightened about your survival in this world with all these scary things? Oh my God, coronavirus. Oh my God. Oh my God. Ah! Crisis actors. This is how wonderful the drama of life is. Wah, the drama. Wah, the drama. Wah, the drama. Wah means, whoa, you motherfucker. That's what wah means. That means, what the fuck, you've just had your mind blown by how extraordinarily, powerfully bizarre and wonderful life is, the drama of life. Why the drama? So all the big hoo-ha now, the racist tension, has been fueled by the supposed murder of this big, fat, black dude with a cop with his knee on his throat. Well, do your homework, do your due diligence and research. Do your due diligence and research to prove to yourself what the actual truth of the matter is. And you will find, to your absolute astonishment, that they are crisis actors used by the Illuminati in every single major false flag operation that's been going on over the last 3 to 5 to 7 years. Crisis actors. And this fat bastard, who is apparently, supposedly dead, is a porn star, a well-known black porn star with a tattoo of the Illuminati tattoo on his chest. Believe it or not, do your due diligence and research. And so that one single movie, but poorly made, if you do your due diligence and research, poorly made movie has triggered a racial pandemic. which is following on hot on the heels of our favorite new pandemic called coronavirus. Bullshit, 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 and more bullshit. Do your due diligence or research and be amazed. Everything is staged. Everything is part of an agenda. And hats off, big round of applause for Ravan and all his resources and Maya, what the Indians call Ravan and Maya, ancient archetypal forces of the devil and the illusion of life. In other words, in a more modern language, a Christian language, because it's more modern, it's Satan and Lucifer, satanic forces and luciferic forces. Now get this clear. You need to know this. Satanic forces are obviously evil. They involve satanic rituals, the murder of children. They involve pedophiles, satanic rituals, and the drinking of a hormonal and blood secretion called adrenochrome. Adrenochrome is the drug of choice of the elite, the 1% of the 1%, or the 0.1% of the 1%, the monsters, the evil beings, the fallen angels, the Nephilim, the terrible DNA from the evil thing, the children of the devil, the seed of Satan, mixed with human flesh. It's an ancient story. It goes into mythology, and it's terrible, very, very dark, and it's been dominating through every civilization in recorded modern history. Fact, period, end of story. That is satanic forces. Obviously evil, we don't like them. Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, etc., are their front people in the world of form. Then on the other side, you have the luciferic forces. The luciferic forces are the forces of the mind and technology. Technology and media, transhumanism and technology. Media, art, liberal arts, they've taken over the movie industry, they've taken over the arts, and they are in bed with the Satanists in their core. Terrible, 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 monstrous, horrible stuff. But the luciferic thing is not so obviously evil. Maya hypnotizes you. Ravan scares you to death and makes you run away because it's obviously evil, that's Satan. Maya hypnotizes you. And like Brother Michael was saying, your technology has been the instrument of hypnosis in your, you know, tucked up with you in bed for the last 20 years or however long, 30 years or 40 years or 50 years.
Yeah. It's heavy stuff, and we need to wake up from all this. The news is just a massive propaganda factory, unfortunately. Maybe there was a time in the past where it had some shred of respectability to it, but the last, especially since Trump has been elected, it's just got so out of hand that it doesn't hold. Almost, if there's any truth to it, it's very superficial layer of this happened, but the story, the narrative around everything is manipulation, manipulation, manipulation. And what I find unfortunate is the amount of spiritually minded people who buy into it and who get all caught up in it and who get upset about it and then try and even do causes to try and help things that themselves are very, very, very fraudulent. So you have to wake up to this, understand what we're dealing with. And just coming back to what Nick was talking about with the manifestation, because we're talking about manifestation, but the point we're making is that the process of living is the manifestation that we need to focus our attention on, the actual enjoyment of being alive. And like Nick said, it's not always fun and games. There's sometimes seemingly tedious things that need doing. But what's interesting, and there's a very good book about this. It's called, I think it's called So Good They Can't Ignore You. It's a great book, well worth reading, by Cal Newport. And in that book, he's calling out the passion myth. The passion myth basically says that if you follow your passion, you will be successful. So, for example, someone might think, my passion is to be a yoga teacher. So they're all excited about it. They all want to do it. And they might give up a corporate job or something and they follow their thing. And then it turns out that they have no money in it. And it turns out they didn't really like it that much anyway. Loads of people, for example, I know plenty of people who've done yoga teacher training courses themselves, and it turns out they don't want to be yoga teachers by the time they've done it. And not only that, do they not like doing it, it also doesn't provide for them financially, and it doesn't satisfy them. What he found, it's very interesting, is that the most happy people, the most content people, are not necessarily people who follow their passion, actually, but are people who do something that they're very good at doing. And by doing something that leads to a sense of flow state, where we're in the flow, where everything's easy. The flow state is where you're not thinking about it. You're just in the process of doing something you're good at. So whatever you're good at doing and you don't have to think about it, if you push yourself a little bit, do it a little bit harder, like exercise. Exercise is not very fun a lot of the time. It's hard work, especially if it's a hardcore exercise. But if you get in the flow, then it's in some way enjoyable, even though it's painful, because of the flow state. Same thing happens when you're writing, if you're good at writing or you like writing. Same thing happens with artists. Same thing happens with people doing all kinds of what might be considered mundane work, you know, cooking or taking care of the dishes or taking care of the garden or whatever it is. And so what happens is when we're in the flow state, it's an inherently enjoyable space internally because it's a state of grace, a state of flow. And people who are very, very good at something and they get in the flow state, they feel good. This is what that study I mentioned earlier talked about. They're in the flow. They might not be, you know, be happy about being at work on one level, but on another level, they're actually enjoying it. And as a result of that, they feel satisfied. When you achieve things and you think, yeah, I did a good job of that. For example, when in the morning, I take out the dishes out of the dishwasher, make a juice, and it takes about half an hour to do everything. I don't enjoy it. I don't want to do it. I'd much rather do something else, frankly, at that time in the morning. But nonetheless, I do it. And as long as I do it with full intention, I can enjoy it. You know, I'm in the flow. I do it as fast as I can. I'm doing it with a good spirit. And then I clean everything up and everything's back to a nice, clean space. Had my juice. Everything's great. That is actually an enjoyable experience, even though it's tedious. Because first of all, it's in the flow state. Secondly, it's something that's good for me to do for my health. And thirdly, it's satisfying to do something that is finished. We like to finish things. And that's not a goal, by the way. It's not like my greatest goal in life is to make a juice. Because I make a juice every day. So it's not like this one-off goal like winning a medal and then you've got it and that's it. These are things that we can do all the time. So when it comes to manifesting, we need to move away from manifesting this one-off goal that happens at the very, very, very end. Like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, Tyson Fury, the boxer, world heavyweight title. He's done it again. I think this time around he might be more satisfied the first time, but went into a deep depression. Same thing happens with gold medalists and all sorts of people. So Amy Miller, she mentioned her intentions. And one of them was to help people who have mental health issues, to destigmatize it and help them out. It's a very noble thing to do. And it's something that will bring tremendous satisfaction because helping people actually leads to a lot of good feelings. And the key thing is to design her life in such a way that she's doing stuff that is challenging, but it's also pushing her forward and not a life of crisis. So there's a fine line between being busy and being in crisis and being in the flow. They're similar things, but there's a different feeling about them. So for superheroes, we need to align our lives with service and do things that are a little bit hard, but are using our skills and we become good at, and enjoy the moment. One of the first things we did in Subio training, Nick came up with a poster many, many years ago. I designed the poster and took the photograph in Lanzarote. Remember that, bro? Best day ever poster.
Yeah, bro. Thanks, good, mate. Thanks for doing that, bro.
Yeah, it was a great poster. We really enjoyed doing that. And Nick wrote it and I put it together. And I still remember it very clearly. Beautiful shot of the beach, Lanzarote, which is an island south of Spain near Africa. Yeah. Epic place. We had a great laugh. That was a funny trip, but it was called bag of crisps, big bottles of beer. Yeah, that was quite a funny little mad little trip. So yeah, that was hilarious. But that poster, it was called The Best Day Ever. Right, David Wolf, I think, mentioned this years ago, and it was such a great. We should, I think I might actually still have some of those posters in Hawaii, Nick, somewhere. But anyway, the best day ever is. It sounds a bit cheesy, actually, when you just hear it, because it gets said so many times. Best day ever, best day ever, best day ever. You're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. What does it mean? It's not the best life that you achieve one day. It's not the best day ever you finally win the award and that's going to be the best day ever. The best day ever is the best day ever today. And this is actually I've really thought about this over the years. This is like a major shift in consciousness to go from goal seeking, suffering in the present moment, doing stuff we don't like, not being on our mission, like not in focusing on being here and hoping the future will be better, the future will be better, the future will be better. That's one way of living. That's how almost everyone lives. Best day ever means that we flip it round and we say, how can today be the best day ever? What can I do today to express my joy and to be of service, to push myself a little bit further, to do better practices, to do something meaningful, to put away the dishes with extra joy, you know, to make a better juice, to be more loving to my family. So it's shifting it around. So when it comes to manifesting, the main thing to manifest is the best day ever. Again and again and again. And that's it. Yeah. So think about your visions and focus on that.
Love it.
So I'm actually want to hear from our lovely Amy Miller about her digital detox. And Amy, I hope you have good news for me, because I've managed 5 days since then without any internet, and I run an internet business. So Amy Miller, you are
live.
I'm well impressed.
Hello.
Hello, Amy.
Well, hello. Great talking to you guys again. I wanted to say I have multiple of those posters in my house. I still say, even the other day, I say what was written on the poster. So that has been a wonderful thing for the
podcast. Awesome.
It's cool. I love the sunrise and the beach. I wish I could report the great news, but I did it 100%. But I made it through the majority of one of the days, and then with everything going on in the world and running the business and everything,
good for you,
we had to get. What'd you say?
Good for you.
Good for you. Yeah.
So I tried. I just wanted to be honest that, I mean, that's the thing with practices, though. It's just like you have to keep going and going, you know. And like you said, like you have to do them. There's no excuses. It has been a hard week too, running the business and needing to be able to communicate to everyone about it and and doing that, but I did make it for part of the day. Phone off and the whole thing.
Good job. And how did you feel, Amy, doing that?
Well, I think the greatest thing about it, you do feel a lot calmer, but your ability to focus your mind is stronger. So I have a very active mind. It's bouncing around all the time, and the breathing's helping. So without all that, you know, propaganda and all those messages, I'm able to calm my mind more and focus it more on what I need to do, right, to be of service to the world in a sense of calm. So yeah. It helps greatly. I'm impressed with the 5 days there. That's amazing.
No, I do 5 days a week, every week, not just this week.
Got
this
it.
Is my style.
Every
Yeah, no, I'm not messing around with it. So I've realized I've actually spent probably about like 45 to 60 hours reading books on this very topic. And I honestly, the reason I go on about this is because I understand very clearly exactly what's going on with this technology. And it's really, 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 really dark. And if you really understand it, you'll probably be aiming towards 5 days yourself, you know. Anyone who gets it, when you wake up, but the thing is, we've been so massively brainwashed that when I say this, it's almost like trying to take candy away from the children, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say, Amy, one thing I'm going to recommend that you do, if you haven't done this already, do you have a landline?
No, we don't. We actually tried to get one in the house, and they don't do landlines anymore. Instantly.
Really?
Can you believe it? Yeah,
that's
yeah, because we wanted a landline after, remember we went through the fires, and we wanted a landline, and so we tried to get it, and they said they don't do it anymore.
Oh, my God, that's incredible. Well, that I mean, it's not surprising. How far are you from Silicon Valley?
We're a couple hours from Silicon Valley.
Right. Yeah, well, that's like still closer than most people are, you know, so you're in the, you're in the sphere of that, that whole mentality, San Francisco and everything, so... They're like, you know what, do away with landlines, do away with everything. Just keep looking at that thing. You'll be all right. No need to eat. Just look at your screen.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Well, with the no technology, too, we're having to build because we're doing the online business right now, too, and building a whole bunch of shows. So I have to be on my computer watching things and videos. But we're saying even with that, I can't even do that, right? I need to take a whole day to detox from all of it.
Yeah, take a whole day this week. Have another crack at it. Because what will happen, Amy, is that you will ultimately, and this applies to everyone, you'll feel, for a start, yourself. You'll feel back to yourself. Because every time we absorb anything, we're being affected by it. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But whatever it is, it's not you. It's someone else, something else. So when you come back to yourself and you come back to your good feelings. And the other thing is that you'll actually be more creative and more productive. So your business deserves you to be in your best space. Because you've got to create a lot, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, next week I'm going to report that I've successfully accomplished this.
Yeah, well done for having a crack at it, and that's a huge success. Any amount is a huge success, you know. And what you have to remember is that these companies, they don't have your best interests in mind, you know. That's what we think, oh, no, this is a nice service for me, they're trying to help me out. But just in the same way that drug dealers, you know, they of course have a product that people want, but they're not thinking about the best interest of their crack addicts, are they? Really? Do you know what I mean? Oh, please give me a kick. You know, oh, I'll give you a free hit today. Oh, thank you. Do you know what I mean? They're not really thinking about the the well-being of their heroin addict. Do you know what I mean? So that's actually the situation we're dealing with here. And so it's worth just at least take a day away and you'll feel better and your company will benefit from it hugely. And so will your relationships and your health and everything.
And another thing,
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have this technological interference in with your consciousness and you spend time with nature, In the absolute simplicity, it could be a garden or on the grass or with a tree or by some water, or it doesn't matter what it is. As long as you spend time in nature, especially with your child, you're going to get this natural transformation that's going on, because, you know, as wonderful as life is in a negative way with all these crazy fuckers running this technological, you know, technocracy, whatever it is they want to call it, and all this devil-worshipping madness, as crazy as all that is in a negative, there's a crazy positive. And the crazy positive is in this, you know, this golden age idea, or the children of God, or the, you know, the transformation, the biological transmutation. We go through this mutation. You know, we become something that we're not. That we, you know, this whole process of, like, I have a girl here. She was at my Angel Qigong class this morning in the park. She works for me as well. And she said to me today, I went to my family this weekend, and it was so shocking because everybody had drank so much alcohol, and they were just all talking nonsense, just trivial bullshit. And she said it was so shocking for her because she was so comfortable in it just a couple of weeks ago. It was her world, her reality. But since she's been practicing Angel Qigong with me, her consciousness is just refined. And so now she can see this world that she's, you know, been part of born out of. And so she was a little bit shocked by that. And it took her a day to integrate that today. She was a little bit, there's a lot of energy. She was a little bit tired. She had to rest and stuff. So, so that transformation is going to continue. It's not just she's going to realize that her family is a little bit, you know, in the matrix. No, she's going to go through an amazing transformation. The foundation of that transformation is peace, inner peace. And what that peace gives you is power. And that power comes in the presence. And the presence is stillness. And in that stillness is the essence of the presence. And the essence is this feeling, these particles of energy that make up the substance of creation. So these particles of energy that make up the substance of creation. And so while you're sitting with your child in the grass, looking at the flowers, you're going to be, you know, looking at him. So you're going to be feeling all this love. Try and remember to center inside yourself. It's very difficult when you've got a baby or a child or any children, or someone you love, or something you adore outside of yourself. It could be a dog, or a painting, or a car, or a football team, or it doesn't matter what it is, a surfboard. It's going to take your center outside of yourself. You try and stay centered inside yourself and focus on your light and bring your light into you from within you. You deeply bring your light from within you, and then you radiate it out into the world as love, through love, as being the embodiment of love. And that's your fundamental function. And we're going through an undeniable transformation right now, negatively and positively. It's a mutation of the species. It's like the puberty phase of humanity. We've gone out of our childish, primitive way, and we've become adolescents, ridiculous, destructive, like punk rock adolescents, very naughty children. And now we're going through this spotty, very uncomfortable metamorphosis where we feel dreadful and all our spots come out. It's horrible, and we realize that we're being manipulated by these horrible people. But because you're locked up, because we're segregated to a certain degree, because you can create your own bubble, you can create your own reality, you can create your own, you know, mini community, you can create your own mini culture. And the natural forces that are pouring into creation right now, the Luciferians and the Satanists, are doing their utmost to distort. They're doing their utmost to distort the natural flow of creation. All the chemtrailing is fundamentally to distort the information coming from the sun, the light coming from the sun.
all the beautiful cosmic energy and life-giving forces, warmth, goodness, etc., from the sun, and then the positive effect that that has on the elements, and the elements bring the rain and everything's balanced in nice ecosystems, well, they're doing their damnedest to distort this, and have been for 70 years with massive, massive, massively increasing chemtrail geoengineering. Gargantuan amounts of aerosols, particles of goodness knows what else, and deadly metals and poisons and horrible things in the air, with super high tech radiation frequencies going through it. And they've had this technology for a long, 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 long time, and they just do their damnedest to fuck everything up. But as you all notice, nature is much, 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 much more powerful. And so this transformation that's going on is of a gargantuan nature. And it's absolutely shocking, the magnitude of it. So your little job is just to focus on your own center inside yourself. Be a peaceful, beautiful, loving mother. And understand that something magnificent is going on in your life. And the more you expose yourself to it in silence and peace and stillness and calmness and love and beauty, sharing it with your child and your family and your friends and your little culture that you're creating there, the more effective you're going to be, the more powerful you're going to be as a creator.
Beautiful. I love nature, and I'm going to do exactly that. And I have my garden too to work on, which is great. But it's just simple practices over and over again. So I'm really excited to do this. I love like talking about it and having, you know, doing things over and over to keep inspiring me to do the practices.
Yeah. And the thing about, you know, we're always banging on about the same thing is because this is the big secret, Amy. This is the wonderful thing about working with us. If you are in possession of truth, if you actually are in possession of the diamonds, the jewels of knowledge, that information is not. Information, the information highway, the technological blah, blah, blah land coming out of the internet, it is not. It's not the diamonds of truth. If you're in the possession of the truth, what the truth does is it becomes simpler and simpler and simpler. It simplifies into its essence. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Or any meditation or self-improvement system, if it doesn't simplify into essence, you're just heading the wrong way. We're going away from the beach towards the beach. You're going away. You want to go to the beach. You want to go to the ocean, and you're being taken on a detour. Oh, turn right down here through Los Angeles. Go down Rodeo Drive. Go out there. Go up there, and blah 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 blah. And that's the end of the program when you're out in the desert somewhere. So our thing gets simpler. Essence, 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 and that's what it should do for you. It should become simpler. However you understand it, however you articulate it, whatever you focus on, it should become simpler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why technology, you need to take some time, because technology always pulls you into chaos and expansion, always. It's always some crazy stuff on there to divert you away from simplicity again and again and again. And when you start turning it off 5 days a week like I am, you start realizing you can see it clearly. You actually can't see it. You can't see it unless you turn it off. And one of the interesting things is that when you turn off an iPhone, you got an iPhone, Amy?
Yes, I do.
Of course you have an iPhone. So when you turn it on, right, this actually didn't occur to me for many, 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 many years, because they're normally always on. So I turn it off. When I turn it back on again, right, what's the first thing that you see? It's not just an apple, though, is it? It's a half-eaten apple. It's the sign of the fall from the tree of knowledge. That's a really dark thing to be seeing. That you turn it on, and it's almost like the fall from the Garden of Eden. They chose the tree of knowledge. They ate the apple, and now you're not pure anymore, and you're going to have to deal with all this suffering. That's the symbol. That's so bizarre, and not really bizarre, but it's so telling of what is yet to come.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's wonderful that they tell us. It's wonderful. This is the most amazing thing about life. I'm so glad we're into this. I'm so glad we're into this because it's the thing to be into. It's the greatest subject ever. So the crazy thing about it is they have to fucking tell you what they're doing. They leave all the, it's all hidden in plain sight. This is like some part of the crazy deal that evil has with God. This is the thing. The devil works for God. This is the crazy thing. There's a deal. It's like there are rules, and evil has to let you know what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things. So there it is. So there's the apple with someone's taken the munch out of it. Who took the munch out of it? Well, the woman took the munch out of it in the garden. Well, who told her to? Well, the snake told her to. And what is the tree? Well, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's the bipolarization of consciousness. So it's the fall from unity consciousness, where everything is one, and it just flows as a symphonic harmonic, and you're this innocent part of it that flows within it all. It's the symbolic imagery of that, and the fall of that into a split. So now it separates itself, its perception of reality into two categories, good and evil. And it perceives now conflict. So its whole existence from that point then is reconciling this conflict, trying to heal this schism, which is impossible. There is no cure for the ego. This is a really, really important thing for everyone to understand. There's no cure for the ego. The ego is patently insane and will forever be. And there is also no cure for imaginary evils. This is one of the greatest things I've realized in my existence. There is no cure for imaginary evils. So because we are so powerful, we're powerful souls, we're imagining all this stuff, we're projecting our fears and our uncontrollable desire to acquire, our impulses of acquisition and fear, we're projecting them out and imagining frightening things that need to be, we either need to protect them, ourselves from them, or we need to kill them. That's what human souls did. So there's no cure for any of this in the world. All this doing good, trying to save the world, save everything, all the starving people, let's all go organic, let's recycle. I'm not saying these things are bad things, but you cannot solve the problem on the same level that it was created. It's a manifestation. It's not a realm of cause, this world. It only appears to be that way. There are deeper reasons why it is so. So ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to practice and fly. Mm. We want to be flying through this thing on a magic carpet. We want to be turning into angels. We want to become in supernatural versions of ourselves. And I kid you not, we want to become in supernatural versions of yourself. You want to become in Mary Poppins or something like, with teeth and claws and feathers and angels' wings and burning in flames of fire. You need to become a supernatural version of yourself and start with supernatural peace and supernatural ability to resist addiction to technology and, you know, et cetera. And then it will all spiral out from there, my dear.
Yeah.
We have high hopes for our lovely Amy, and it's, you're here for a reason, Amy, and we've kind of picked you out as the sort of special gem to represent all the other superheroes, and so your success is being transferred across to everyone who's yet to come. Because as you do it, they can do it. You know, me and Nick already do all this stuff, so it doesn't count for us. But your success, you're in the matrix, you're with all this stuff going on, you're running a business, you're a mother, you're in the perfect position to demonstrate what can happen. So we're very grateful for you. And Amy, I just want to hear from you briefly about, earlier on we talked about manifestation and business and, you know, creating things. What did you learn from that that was different than you normally think about things?
There's so much wisdom that you guys share that sometimes I, like, need to write it all down to soak it in. But in terms of manifestation, and I think through the years, too, I love that you're saying that the great traveler has no destination. Because oftentimes with manifesting, you're picking a specific thing, like you said, that's going to make you happy. And then you get there and manifest that, and it leads to depression or anxiety. So to me, the focus and intention and vision, you need to, I have a hard time saying it, but you need to go along with the destination of what it is, you know, what will unfold, not having a destination. And there's a sense of freedom to that instead of, like, hard manifestation. I've learned that through the years. I used to focus very hard on what do you want? What do you want?
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. And those two things don't cancel each other out. They do not cancel each other out. You do not have to make a choice there. This is the knowledge of good and evil way. You always have to choose. It has to be one and the other. Unity consciousness means you know where you're going. You've chosen your destination. You know where you're going. Mm-hmm. You've chosen your destination. But while you're going there, you do it as a traveler with no destination. That means when I'm walking down the road, this is what I do. No kidding. I do this every day. I've done it today already. When I'm walking down the road, I imagine I'm walking backwards. When I'm walking forwards, I imagine I'm walking backwards. I just use my imagination. When I'm lifting my arm up, I imagine it's floating down. When I breathe out, I imagine I'm breathing in. Why? Because I want to disengage that panting, feverish, fucking maniac that is a monster. There's only one thing. The ego is this gigantic composite of us all. And it's monstrous. It's a bewildered, monstrous child. Absolutely out of control, eating the world. A terrible creature. And completely mad. And it is we. And so I want to disengage that thing. I have to do that my little bit because I'm one of the cells in the body of human ego. So the easy thing is, you know where you're going. I know where I'm going. I get shit done. I am so fucking organized. I'm smashing it in Amsterdam. Next level. I've got so many things happening right now. I'm so stoked in every possible way you can imagine. I have the most amazing life. So full, so rich, so busy, so productive. But it looks like I'm just on holiday all the time. I'm just doing my thing. But I'm showing up for all the meetings. I'm super well organized. I've got clients coming out my ears. I've got, you know, people melting down around me. I've got all kinds of drama situations to deal with. You know, heavy shit news coming in, you know, every couple of days with all this stuff that's gone on in people's lives. I just started a new client today. He's a cocaine addict and rah, 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 you know, and I'm just cruising. It's so easy. It's so pleasurable. Because why? Because I create eternal space for myself. I create eternal space. Because when you go into the point inside you, you're going into unity consciousness, and that is eternity. It's the difference. The split consciousness is in space-time. It's dimensional. The dimensions, the splits are fragments of dimensions of space-time. So unity consciousness is just in the center, and you have to always have these little tricks like the mala beads. When you're walking forwards, imagine you're walking backwards. When you're breathing out, imagine you're breathing in. And still be beetling around
absolutely fucking smashing it, getting shit done and rocking and rolling. Do you get it?
Totally get it. Yep. It's an amazing thing, and it just takes practice over and over again to be able to get into that. And
that's it.
And that's it. And to have that power.
Yeah. And so you have the vision, and but then you focus on best day ever, and you've got those posters around, so you can look at those again and again.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you do it, you know, and that's it. And come back to the essence, the essence, the essence, the essence. And that this is why we're mentioning about taking time away from stuff, because otherwise the dark side is basically affect. It's like you're being injected again and again and again and again with poison, and it's very difficult for you to be healthy if you're being injected with poison multiple times a day. So you have to say, you know what, I can handle a bit of poison, but all the time, every day, it's not a good idea. So you just get rid of the poison as much as you can. And that way you can feel healthier and stronger. Because we have to put up with life. We have to put up with certain amounts of things. We can handle, our immune system can handle a certain amount of poison. But not too much.
Absolutely.
So... I'm glad you such a switched on student, Amy. I'm really glad. Hey, listen, I know what I was going to say. I want you to email me and let's set up a separate call so we can have a look at your gene keys. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, we'll do a little.
Okay.
Have a look at your gene keys, and you know, we'll have a little chat about that and get a bit more practical about what's going on in your life and stuff, and.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I'll email you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, do that, sweetie. Yeah.
Amazing. Right. You guys are simply the best. This was a very awesome call. So much wisdom.
We love you so much, Amy.
Love you
best,
too. You're the best. Aww. You guys have an awesome week.
Thank you.
We'll talk
Thanks,
soon.
Really.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
Bye.
Yeah.
And we have another question here, actually, that just came in. If anyone's on the line and he wants to, like, mention a question in the chat, just put one in. Quick question here from Sarah in London. She says, thank you for your teaching. I have a question about my current role. I make games. How could I reduce the effects of technology in my job? Thank you. So Sarah, the key thing here is you know, you have to put up with your work while you have a job that's fiddling around with technology and games and whatnot. That's one thing. It's what you do in your spare time. You can't, if you're working in a job, then you're working in a job. So it's we can't change everything all at once, and you can't change your job necessarily right away. You can work for yourself, do something else, get another job, but that's a separate topic. Right now, I just think when you leave, I was talking to someone actually on the phone when I had a techie problem, and he works in helping people with when their computers break. And he said when he leaves work, he has nothing to do with any computers at all the whole rest of the time until he comes back to work. So I thought that was a good example there, is that you just unplug it all. Turn everything off, get a landline, talk to people. I have loads of calls on my landline. I'm on the landline now. So I can have the cell phone unplugged, the internet turned off, and I can still talk to people, have sessions, to have clients, and talk to friends and family. But the landline is not connected to the rest of the madness. It's just me and another person. So basically, turn everything off the rest of the time.
Good for you, mate. I'm very impressed with 5 days a week, bro. That's super heroic level.
Yeah, well, it's taken 5 years to come to terms with the fact that that's the best method.
So basically, you did all that research, and in a way, it kind of scared you away from it. In a way, it's like so important. You realize this is like this stuff has to go.
Yeah. It's I've got about basically, the more you research about it, you really realize how toxic it is, because we're like the frogs in the pan, and we were given our, first of all, we were watching TV and whatnot, then we got computers, then they gave us those old school cell phones that you could text really annoyingly to people, but they're mostly used to phone calls, right? Yeah, and then, but now it's, they're turning up, and now people are being burned to death. The frogs are dying in the pan already. And so I'm like, no way. I've jumped out of the pan, basically. I realize if I'm in that pan, I almost died myself in a way.
So, because you're Kermit, aren't you?
You got to get out of the pan. Yeah, I'm like, ooh, it's getting too hot in here. I don't know about this, you know. So, yeah, the good book to read, actually, is there's a great book called Irresistible by, I think it's something Adler. I can't remember his second name, but it's got a picture of a cell phone on the front, blue cover, Irresistible. When you understand what's going on, it's really, really dark. And the other thing just to be aware of for me is that our capacity to understand truth from falsehood is literally impaired. It's almost like our eyes are being blunted out with spiky sticks when you see all this crap all the time. So it's a poisonous impairment. So I think when I've realized how bad it actually is, I'm just like, you know what, I can honestly, one day a week might be better, but I've got stuff to do online like everyone else, so it gets done. I feel my favorite days are Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, because I have nothing to do in terms of internet stuff whatsoever for 3 days in a row, and I just feel so much better, so much more joy, that I don't want to sabotage it. So that's how I've learnt. Yeah, and we have another question here from Judy from Vancouver. Any insights on healing allergies, Brother Nick?
Yeah, it's a big question. You know, I don't like these healing questions, you know, these general, because it's a one-size-fits-all answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know you. I don't know what you look like. So I'm just going to give you my best shot. All right, but it's like a one-size-fits-all. You can get more specific if I was sitting with you, could look at you and ask you a few questions. So, allergies. It's always associated with the liver, because the liver has to sort everything out. It has to balance all the biochemical equations. The liver is the most extraordinary organ. The complexity of the biochemical equations the liver has to do is really, really, really impressive. So what happens is the allergies is very often a slow response of the body to deal with stuff, or, you know, because the liver is overworked, a bit clogged up. So you might have wanted to look at taking pressure off your liver. And so you can do that by simplifying your diet and getting much more liquids into it, especially in the morning time. And movement, so going for walks or bicycle rides or doing some rebounding or, you know what I mean, doing some movement. And movement, necessarily super cardio or strenuous, more like moving around for a while, you know, dancing maybe for 45 minutes or something like that would be great, if you like dancing. Drink lots of fluids in the morning and research, Google up liver support herbs and get those kinds of teas. So, for example, milk thistle is a good one. And there's lots of other herbs that are good for your liver that you can look up. Also look up blood-building herbs. and mix those in as well. So you're building your blood and tonifying your liver. Reduce the fats in your diet. Reduce the fats, especially all fried fats. The only cooking fat you should use is coconut oil. You can actually eliminate, I would also eliminate all dairy, because unless you're eating raw dairy and you really love it, like I do, and you have a really fast, strong, hot digestion fire like I do, then dairy glugs up your lymphatic system and is one of the primary underlying causal factors of cancer and acidification in the body, obesity, being overweight, arterial sclerosis, slow blood, and just generally inefficient flow of fluids around the body. Why? Because it's kind of a thick, sticky liquid. Milk, cheese, eggs are extremely mucus forming. Unless you're doing free range eggs for real deal, free range happy chickens with a big smile on their face and their yolks are yellow, like golden yellow, not sickly fucking gray yellow. Don't eat those things. Get it all out of your diet. Get all the bread out, especially any white breads and all that shit. Because what it does is it clogs you up. Understand this. Health is very simple because it's a biological constipation. You need all your channels open in your body. Do breathing exercises every morning. If you're a strong person, you've got a strong constitution, you can do Wim Hof breathing and really get yourself pumping. Google up Wim Hof. He's the ice man. You usually do it with cold showers or ice baths. Wim Hof breathing. And if you're a skinny, nervous person who feels fear or has weak digestion, you know, vata, deranged vata, vata constitution is too strong, then you don't be doing Wim Hof. You want to be doing just gentle, rhythmic, slow breathing, but do plenty of breathing. Rebounding would be the best thing for you. Rebounding and lots of rebounding. And then I would say do use essential oils, any really nice essential oils that you like, eucalyptus, pine, all the disinfectant ones, eucalyptus, pine, tea tree, cedarwood, sage oil is the best by far, essential oil of sage, not clary sage, essential oil of sage. And what you do is you take any or all of those essential oils and you just put some tissue paper and make little balls that will fit up your nose and just soak the little balls in the oils and then pop the little balls of paper up your nose, the tissue paper up your nose, relax and breathe it. Relaxation, you need to be doing plenty of alternate nostril breathing because that will disengage your sympathetic central nervous system response. That's fight, flight, fright. So do lots of alternate nostril breathing, put yourself into parasympathetic, and chill out. And within a week, if you do that program, within a week, you'll be feeling $1 million. Stay off the technology as much as you can. Don't waste on social media. Don't sit in chairs. Sit on the floor in cross-legged sitting or any way you want. Stretch more. That'll do. Do all that and tell me in a week how you're feeling.
Yeah, go for it. That's great advice. And do it. See how you feel. Yeah, get the liver going. The liver just needs special blessings. And yeah, you'll be all right. You know, Nick knows a lot about health. I know a lot about health. You know, you have to learn. You have to learn about these things because we need to be responsible for our own life. You know, I think it was Hippocrates who said, a man who is not his own doctor by 40 is a fool. That's a great quote. So we have to basically learn what we need to do for our own health. And they're great, great, great tips to take on board. And we want to know, how do you feel in a week? All right. So let's see if there's anything else here. Let's have a look. Anyone else want to mention something? Your this is now or never time. I'm just going to check it. Hopefully that was helpful, Judy. No, I'm not seeing anything. Any other questions? So we are complete for the day. Brother Nick, you want to lead us in a wonderful little blessing, prayer? We have actually a question here from Lydia. I thought we should just take this briefly. Lydia is saying she's implemented most of the training practices. The only thing I haven't done consistently is exercise. Can you help with how to get this inspiration? Many thanks, Lydia. Well, Lydia, I also want to mention something to you. I saw in your intentions you wanted to do the five Tibetans, which I personally enjoy. The five rites.
Yeah.
Awesome. So here's the thing. The five rites start with three, if you read the book. It starts with three, the Eye of Revelation.
Which one?
You're supposed to do all five of them, but three times. How they were originally taught is you start with three times, and then next week you do five, and then seven. So you add two rounds every week until you're up to 21. So... three, doing the spinning and then doing those other ones, and you just do it three times each, is not very hard, let's be honest. So what you have to do, Lydia, is you have to do it first thing in the morning, as soon as you can, because if the longer you leave it, you're having reason, just get up and do it three times every single day. And I would recommend you're not allowed to eat anything until you've done it. So that will probably get it going, because we all like food. So if you're not allowed to eat until you've done your three rounds, then you'll definitely do them. And the other thing to mention is that exercise isn't enjoyable for most people. So if we expect it to feel good, and we're not going to do it unless we feel good about it or we feel inspired to do it, then we're not going to do it. This is one of the things I've learned the hard way, is that if I wait around to feel good about something, I'm just going to be waiting for years and years and years. Exercise feels good afterwards or sometimes during, but the beginning idea of it often seems a bit unpleasant. So don't let that stop you. You're probably not going to want to do it. So once you admit that, then you say, well, I'm not going to want to do it, fair enough, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then you do it, and then you feel good afterwards.
I love you, bro.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, read the book, did it, on and off. Basically, don't worry about inspiration, Lydia. Just... do it three times. That's it.
That's right.
Waiting for inspiration is like waiting for $1 million to show up in your mailbox. So don't bother with it. You just do the thing. And motivate. There's a good book. You might want to read a book. Not that you need to do this to do the thing. Just do it anyway. But there's a good book called The Motivation Myth, which basically says that the idea that you need to be motivated first and then you'll do stuff is a bunch of BS, because truthfully, when you do something and you feel good about it, then motivation comes as a consequence of you doing it, not the other way around. So a lot of people are just sitting around trying to watch motivational talks and whatever else, and they never really get anywhere. But when we take action, we start feeling better, and that inspires us to take more action, and then we inspire to do more action. That's how I ended up with 5 days a week offline, because, you know, it started with half a day. Now it's going on and on and on. So just do it three times, and we will hear all about it next week.
God bless Brother Michael. Thank God for Brother Michael.
Thank God for you, brother. Thank God for God. Very blessed.
Yeah, thank God for God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
All right. So, Brother Nick, you can lead us.
Lead us away to the sunny way. And that sun's warm in my soul. Because the man said, yeah. The man said, yeah. Almighty Heavenly Father and Mother, we love you so much. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for blessing our lives. We accept all your abundance and grace with a grateful heart. Thank you for our bountiful prosperity and infinite love. Thank you for the bountiful prosperity and infinite love that pours through our lives. Thank you for blessing everyone that listens to this call. Thank you for filling our hearts with peace. Thank you for making us so strong, Lord, in the face of all of this danger. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending all your angels. We thank you for your mighty angels, dear God, that protect us, that lead us, guide us, and direct us into your life, into your love, and into your complete, limitless, bountiful prosperity and love. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for forgiving all our ancestors, all our crazy fucking ancestors. Thank you, dear God, for forgiving them all, helping them all forgive each other, forgive ourselves, be at peace with each other, be at peace with ourselves, love each other and love ourselves and forgive all beings and all beings forgive us. We thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. We thank you, dear Mother. We love you so much. Thank you, 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 thank you for the great victories in our lives, dear God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.